Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Drown and out, things can only get wetter, and oh, ballots. They were just some of the front pages that greeted Rishi Sunak this morning following his surprise decision to announce a general election in the UK yesterday. The 4th of July is the date, with the Tories trailing the Labour Party by double digits in most polls. Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor at the Daily Mirror, and John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool, are on the line. Kevin, first to you. Now, you've referred to the Prime Minister as a Wally without a brolly in your column this morning. It wasn't a great start, and that image is likely to stick with him right throughout the campaign, standing in the rain outside 10 Downing Street.
No, he was absolutely soaked, and it hadn't taken the precaution of an umbrella or checking the weather forecast. He had an element of surprise. He could take the initiative, but he lost it pretty quickly, and there was an incredible contrast with the reaction of Keir Starmer, who, in front of wood panelling, flanked by two union flags, had people in the room who applauded him. They would have been party workers, but nevertheless, it looked good and positive on TV, sounds like that on radio. It looked as if one man was on his way out, and then he turned and we saw his sodden back, and the other man was kind of beaming, all looking very, very positive. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, number 10 will be kicking themselves they didn't plan that better.
Yeah, and what do you make of the decision? I know there's been lots of speculation and analysis in the hours since he made the announcement, but that decision to call an early election, what do you think is behind it?
It's a huge gamble. I think it's risky, arguably desperate. The calculation we're now told is that the economy isn't growing as well. During the summer, prospects wouldn't improve the way they'd hoped. And you get to September, all the speculation is, when will the election be? You can look like a squatter as if you're running away from it. But to go for this election when you're 20 points or so behind your opponents in the polls, well, to win from this position would be the biggest comeback since Lazarus.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think? John Tong, do you think it's a desperate gamble?
I think it was the most desperate start to an election campaign that I've ever seen, for sure. You can add Monsunak to the puns that we've had so far. Quite what he's thinking as Prime Minister going in July is absolutely beyond me. He's appointed a special election advisor, Isaac Levido, who does know a thing or two about winning elections. He masterminded the Conservatives' 2019 election campaign. He advised the Prime Minister against going early, and his advice has been overruled. The logical thing for Rishi Sunak to do was to go in November. He's cut national insurance by 4p in the pound, so there'll be quite a lot more pay in people's pockets by that point. Inflation is coming down. It's almost down to 2%. So people might, and I repeat, might have felt a bit better off. You can win elections in the dark of autumn or winter. Boris Johnson managed it in 2019. What slender chance he had was based upon playing for time. He's managed to constrict the timeline. It's one of the most baffling decisions I've ever seen. And to me, it had the hallmark of a prime minister who's effectively given up. It's possible the Conservatives can come back from a 25% poll rating. In 2013, David Cameron had that after the local elections, but he had 2 years to turn that round to gain an overall majority in 2015. It would, as Kevin says, it would be the biggest comeback of all time. And I think what little chance he had, he's basically helped evaporate by an appalling election launch yesterday, and by going at the wrong time to the country.
Yeah, and that election launch, I mean, they would have hoped to rescue it with the rally that they had yesterday evening. Kevin, I don't know if you saw the pictures I was watching on Sky. It was hilarious in one way, but they had their reporter, Darren McCaffrey, being bundled out of the back car. Did you see that? I mean, it's just extraordinary.
I was watching it, and I was in Parliament. The TV was on, and I was thinking, is this really happening? Is this actually happening? Is it a spoof? have I gone into a comedy moment? Because they have two heavies and you see them bundling out, physically manhandling the Sky reporter and camera operator. The hand of one of the two heavies being put over the lens to stop the filming. Now, the Conservative Party say the reason it was a pooled event, only select broadcasters were allowed. But if you are saying you want accountability, you want to get your message across to the public, you're not afraid of answering questions, what a terrible, terrible look that was.
Yeah.
But... it's almost Labour couldn't plan a Tory campaign better so far. And yesterday in Parliament, many Tory MPs were absolutely despairing, while Labour MPs were absolutely jubilant.
And what about this talk then, that there might be moves against Keir Starmer at this stage, John? Do you put any stall in those?
I don't think there'll be moves against Keir Starmer. The moves against Rishi Sunak, the Conservative MPs, there was such a level of disquiet yesterday that they were actively contemplating trying to remove him. And some were even talking about trying to get the election called off. Such is the level of farce stroke desperation within the Conservative Party. I mean, the logical route was to use the party's conference in October as the big election rally. And then you got 6 weeks of campaigning into mid-November. That was the logical course. There are many Conservative MPs who are very, very unhappy over the decision to call a July election because they don't see that you can create a path to victory within 43 days, whereas 3 or 4 months, while you're still waiting in many ways for Labour to implode, you can at least begin to perhaps chip away at the lead. I mean, the part of the problem is some of the Conservative Party support has gone over to Reform UK. The longer that goes on, though, you can present it, the election, as a contest. Look, there's only going to be either the Conservatives or Labour winning this. Mm-hmm. Chip away at the votes of the others and rally. But if you've got your own MPs highly resentful towards you as party leader for what you did yesterday, that's the worst possible note on which to start an election campaign.
Yeah, of course, I did mean Rishi Sunak, because nobody wants to get rid of Keir Starmer and the Labour Party. They want to beatify him. But is that more because he's a lucky general as opposed to this great charismatic leader, John?
Yeah, he is lucky in the sense that he's up against a much weakened Conservative Party. Boris Johnson was a formidable election campaigner. His premiership may have imploded, but no one would deny that Boris Johnson was very, very formidable. He won the London mayoralty twice. The 2019 election campaign slogan, "Get Brexit Done," was a slogan of genius, given that everyone was absolutely fed up with the parliamentary stalemate that had preceded it. There isn't the big narrative that Rishi Sunak can offer for this election. What is he campaigning on his record, which is at best, being generous, mixed? There isn't a big particular political moment or episode on which to campaign. And if you do think you're doing a good job, then why do you want to end that job prematurely by going to the country earlier than the autumn? So there's no narrative about why the election's being called now. The last prime minister who went to the country early without a narrative as to why the election was being called was Theresa May. She managed to mislay the Conservatives' majority then, and I think the same problems will beset Rishi Sunak here.
OK, I want to bring in Deirdre Heenan, who's with us as well. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning.
Deirdre, of course, Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University. Now, the DUP have the majority of the seats in Westminster, but there's the potential in the election for that to change and for some of the current ministers who are there to make their way to London as MPs. So this could be very disruptive.
Could be very disruptive, and it's something we will watch with great interest. It is important to say that in Northern Ireland, the timing could hardly be worse. The 4th of July, the schools are off. So unlike England, our schools are off. And this is part of what we would call the traditional July fortnight. So people have booked their holidays. They don't intend to be here. And of course, it's part of the marching season. So tensions will be heightened. People will retreat back into their own trenches. And so it is very difficult. But also in terms of what will happen and the impact for Stormont, we will await this with great interest. Without doubt, the DUP are the party under the most pressure. For Gavin Robinson, the timing could hardly be worse. He is just 2 months into the leadership of the DUP. He would have been really hoping for a late election so that he could have found his feet, put his imprimatur on the party, but that hasn't happened. And for him, this election will be full of jeopardy, full of pitfalls and landmines. Firstly, personally, his own seat in East Belfast is not safe. And he faces a really tough contest in that seat from the Alliance Party. His winning margin in 2019 was just around 1,800 votes. And he faced a really tough challenge from Naomi Long. Mm-hmm. Naomi Long is currently our Justice Minister. So she has not yet said whether or not she intends to run as a candidate in the Westminster election. And that is a jeopardy for her, because on the one hand, she is the candidate that is most likely to win that seat for Alliance. But on the other hand, what does that say about our devolved assembly, that she would willingly give up a job where she has power, she has influence, and go to Westminster to sit on the back benches? Does it really say that, in fact, for our local politicians, really their aim and their objective is to get to London? And how would the voters react to that? So I think there is jeopardy. But if she does decide to run, he will be under real pressure, because Alliance are on an upward trajectory, and he knows that, and he's going to have to face it. If he loses his own seat, what does that mean for the DUP? They will be in turmoil. Does it mean then that the Donaldson deal, and remember that's something that Gavin Robinson has sold, does it mean that that will start to unravel, and we will see our devolved institutions then start to unravel as well? So yes, it's about Westminster, but it's about much more than that. It's about our local assembly and the implications for our local assembly.
Yeah, very many very big questions that will have to be answered in the coming weeks. And John and Kevin, if I can come to you, John, first, on what do you believe now will be the headline issues of this campaign?
The headline issue of the campaign will be, firstly, government competence. I mean, that's going to be the big issue. Have the Conservatives been competent over the last 5 years? Secondly, do people feel better off or worse off? So the economy is going to be very, very important. And thirdly, leadership. You know, to what extent have the Conservatives, by swapping leaders, you know, the ill-fated Truss premiership, the Boris Johnson's government imploding, to what extent will that impact upon the electorate, who may want a period of quiet governing competence? I don't think it's that Keir Starmer is setting the world alight. If you look at surveys of public opinion and people are asked who will make the best prime minister, the largest single category quite consistently is not sure. But the fact is that Starmer is consistently ahead of Rishi Sunak in terms of preferred prime minister, even if a lot of the country has yet to make up its mind.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, the Conservatives, it would seem, would like falling inflation to be a theme of the campaign, but that's not likely, is it?
No, well, it's possible it could go up a tad. It fell to 2.3%, but that wasn't as far as they hope. They might be praying for an interest rate cut after 14 increases. But Rwanda has been a policy the Conservatives hope would work massively in their favour. Well, Rishi Sunak this morning said no flights will take off before the election. So he will manage to annoy both those who think the policy is wrong and those who think it is right. You couldn't really go into an election with a worse perspective. Oh, it'll come down to who do people think are going to be better for them, their pockets and their public services going forward. That's where the battle will be.
All right, well, I expect to speak to all of you, I hope, many times before we get to that date, the 4th of July. Kevin Maguire, John Tong and Deirdre Heenan, thank you all for joining me this morning. Now, we're going to hear from people next who are running small music venues about the business pressures that they're coping with.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.